A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 20th June 2024, Thursday class. So as usual, we'll be having our Dhamma sharing following this book. Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. We are at Unique Dhamma Code 115. We finished 113 and 114 the previous session. Okay, let us gather. Then we will have the physical puja, followed by the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Ven Su Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava.Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami.Dhatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu MicchacharaVeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Veramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiWe shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa puja onwards. Ganna sarappa ditena ditena tamatansina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutenaTupena hang suganghina Pujayan pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanda Ganda Guno Petam Etam Kusuma Santatim Pujayami Monindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddham Kusumena Nena Punnena Mattena Cha Hotu Mokam Pupam Mila Yati Yata Idam Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyam Parikapitam Anukampam Upadaya Patikam Hatu Muttamam Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitam Anukampam Upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Adivase tuno bante Pojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Now we shall chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance stain. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, to bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Japa. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. This awareness-based meditation is very important. It is to help meditator develop the inner awareness, the stability of this inner awareness. Ability to be aware is very important. And one has to understand clearly what awareness is. To be aware is to be in a state of silence, complete silence, with inner awareness. The awareness is just aware, that's it. There is no such thing as aware of one. Just aware is that nature before the arising of thought, before the sankhara activity arise, or before the manifestation of the mundane mind, the aggregates of mind. To be able to be in that state of complete inner tranquility, stillness and silence, to realize the awareness nature is most important. Without that mind, you cannot meditate. So awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop the ability to stabilize the inner awareness so that we can realize that silent within. That silent mind is your true mind before the arising of thought. That is the awareness nature. That is the one you need to realize. You need to be able to be with it in pure awareness. When you are with it, there is only that pure awareness nature, no thought involved. So what I taught you all is very easy and very simple. If you understand, there are four mind states that can enable you to develop it. So this four support to develop the awareness-based meditation is very important. First support is relax. Completely relax body and mind. Three, whatever arises within your mind state, just let it off. Maintain awareness, that's it. So relaxation is very important. Ability to relax both body and mind so that you are at ease and without thought is most important. Then after that, the second support is maintain awareness. Just aware. Whatever that arises, aware, finish. Don't allow the thought process to continue, the thinking to continue. Then after that, the third support is to stabilize the awareness. So when you continue to allow it to be, then it will stabilize. Then the fourth support is after you have this ability to stabilize your inner awareness, then you can try to do the fourth support, which is trust, T-R-U-S-T. Meaning, trust your nature to meditate. Do not allow the thought to come in to interfere the memory, the verbalization. So all these, they prevent the meditator from developing awareness. To be aware, you must be in the state of silence without thought. So that first three of the four support can help you develop it. Then after that, silent everything, stay at the heart area. Then allow your mind to settle down so that it becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. Then you will be able to realize that silent within, and that is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind, your awareness nature within. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to allow you to develop the daily mindfulness, stability of mindfulness in the midst of life. Invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and reveals Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu Atah gacchantu devata Saddhammam muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno Sugato lukha vidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Putto bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanaiko Pajatang veditago Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisayukkani Atta purisa pukala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. We are at Unit Dhamma Code 115. It's on page 32 of this book, Straight from the Heart, Unit Dhamma Code, written by me. So this one is very important code. So I'll read to you so that we can develop the understanding together. This living being, or what we normally call the five aggregates of form and mind, may not be you, But this is subject to karma. Therefore, we need to develop wisdom to use them with understanding to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action so as to enable us to take care of our karma so that we can be a blessing to all, but not to be deluded by it. So this quote is of special significance because to understand who we are, what we are, is very important. Especially for our case, we are a living being and at the same time also a human being, because we take the birth of a human being. So living being is a general entity, a generalized entity. So I will draw just a simple skeletal. So this is what we call the human being, for our case. That's why up here we have this living being. So this living being is in fact, for our case, we are born as a human being. We call it the human being. So to develop the wisdom, we need to develop the understanding of who we are, what we are. So that is the reason why most cultivators of the way or religious spiritual teachers, when they teach, they always stress the importance of self-knowledge, means understanding clearly who are you? What are you? So this so-called human being is what we are. But is that really you? That's why this one is very important. So we cannot deny we have a physical body. Okay. Then we have a mind, a consciousness that can give rise to thought process, thinking. So this blue color one is the mind. And this black one is the physical body, or what we call the physical form. That's why when they use the spiritual term to describe it, we call this human being the form and mind. So this one, the form and mind, the Buddha subdivided it into five aggregates. So this form and mind has five aggregates. And basically, the physical form is the first aggregate. Then the mind, the Buddha subdivides this into four more aggregates. So to understand this four more aggregates, we have to inquire, what can our mind do? So our mind can develop feelings, it can feel, then it can also have perception, then it can create sankara activity or thinking, mental state, etc. Then finally, the mind can become conscious. So in Pali, the corresponding Pali words are Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. So our purpose of learning the Dhamma is to understand these five aggregates of form and mind, to find out exactly what is this human being all about. That's why the Buddha said, this five aggregate of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. Because this one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Not what you think. So technically, this human being or the five aggregates of form and mind is not you. Yeah. And this five aggregate, to develop the understanding, you need to meditate. You need to really silence your mind and find out, especially the aggregates of mind. The physical body, the form aggregate, is quite easy to understand. But in the teaching, there are two aspects to the five aggregates of form and mind. First aspect is the physical form as a human being. Means as a human being, we have a physical body. That is the first aspect of form. Then we have a mind. So these two combined is also a five aggregates of form and mind as a human being. So this one is quite easy to understand. Then as a human being with the mind or consciousness trapped inside, this mind can perform the following function. That's why these are the important things that the mind can do, the aggregates of mind. First, as we all know, we can feel whether it's hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant. Then all the various tactile sensations that we can give rise to from what the mind is able to sense or develop the feeling. Then apart from feeling, we can also come to know things through perception, through our senses. We can perceive things through our sixth sense basis. The first sense though is the eye. We can perceive what we see. Then what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. So these are the various types of sense basis, perception and feelings. Then there is the third aspect which we can perform as a human being. Our mind can give rise to mental activity, mental thinking, mental states, like mental formation, thought process, and also what we call even your planning, thinking, various type of emotion or mind states. They are all part of sankhara. Then sometimes your planning, your scheming, they are also part of sankhara. In fact, everything your mind can do is sankhara, including feeling and perception. That's why these four aggregates can be actually reduced to one aggregate, sankhara. That's why in the teaching Abhidhamma, there is this definition, sankhara 52. Basic 50 under the teaching, plus perception and feeling. That's why total 52. Then the last aspect of mind is the mind is capable of being conscious. As a human being, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. And this one, the consciousness, like the physics experiment, upon contact, you become conscious, the light bulb lights up. So that conscious moment is actually the pure consciousness. Before the mind's content went in, before sankhara goes in, before the other aggregates of mind, feeling, perception and sankhara activity, is the content of consciousness. So these three, feeling, perception and sankhara, are content of consciousness. Yeah. Or you can just say sankhara, including feeling and perception. These are the content of consciousness. So the consciousness is the pure vijnana. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is just a seeing consciousness. No one to see, no content inside that, no ego. There is no personality or egoic mind within. But the moment the content go in, because of self-delusion, sakkayaditti, and avijja, that egoic mind arises. So this five aggregate is how the Buddha subdivided our mind so that we can understand mind better. Yeah. That's why when you silence your mind, is deep with awareness, you can confirm and come to realize all these four aggregates of mind. The moment of feeling Vedana, very clear, you can be there, aware of that feeling. You can be aware of that perception that is being developed through the mundane mind, through the senses. We can perceive what we see, what we hear, what we smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. The sixth sense. Then we can also become conscious of sankhara activity, or the mind state, or the movement. Yeah. So this content of consciousness that moves inside the thought is what we call the aggregates of mind that perform the function of a human being, the content inside. All of your mental intention, your mental states, they manifest inside that. All of your feeling, yeah. And perception is the aggregate that can allow us to perceive the external form and bring it to mind. That's how this aggregate of perception can bring the external form into the mind. So this will bring us to the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So this one, as a human being, is the first aspect. So this one first, then this one second aspect. This one is the five aggregates of form and mind. Mental means at the mind level or as a thought. So this second aspect is what the Buddha is more interested in. In fact, when we live life, every moment of sense consciousness, we trigger off this second aspect of five aggregates of form and mind, which we call thought. But in the teaching, the Buddha called it form and mind, or nama rupa. Yeah. So the question we need to ask is this human being really what you are? If you attach and cling on to this human being and believing that this is you, then what happened? But when you meditate with the awareness, then you can come to understand that this physical body, which is only element, the four elements, cannot be you. Where this one, no knowing, no consciousness, nothing. So we know the first aspect of the form, which is physical body or external form, is definitely not real, not you. Because it's made up of the four elements. It goes the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be owned or can be mine. There is no such thing. So the sakayadity, the self-delusion, is not understanding this. You attach and cling to the physical body, and you develop suffering. That's why the Buddha said, the five daily contemplation, we have to contemplate every day so that we are very clear that the physical body is not you. Where it's just made up of element, it goes the way of nature. That's why it will get old, get sick, and die, follow nature's law. Then the second aspect is the mind. We need to actually go into this four aggregate to find out, is feeling really you? Is feeling really you? You know, most people been deluded. They will say, yeah, I feel. That's why it has to be me. Otherwise, how can I have feeling? Then, the second one is perception. Every moment of perception that arises within you, is that perception you? Because you never develop the mindfulness, the awareness to meditate, to develop the understanding, you cannot understand. You tend to take things for granted through your conditioning, through your memory, through your education, through all your society's conditioning that actually created the idea that there is an entity within. That's why you call this human being you. They give you a name when you are born. Then they give you an identity card or a birth certificate to create entity, to create the personality, the ego. Then after that, they even give you a passport to travel to identify you. So because of all this educational conditioning and family conditioning, you develop all the egoic entity. Then not understanding all this, you accepted what society has taught to you through your education system, through your whatever social media or even news. Whether it's newspaper or e-paper or whatever. So all this, if you don't investigate, you cannot understand. So to investigate this is very easy. When I develop the ability to be aware, the awareness nature is independent of all this. It can be at the moment of feeling. Then when feeling arises, that feeling does not last. It will come to pass. We have already gone through life. Sometimes feeling can be pleasant feeling. Sometimes it can be very unpleasant feeling. Yeah. Then feeling sometimes can change or transform from pleasant to unpleasant, from good feeling to unpleasant feeling. So all this point towards a very important understanding. If feeling is you, when pleasant feeling arise and pass away, you should die with it, isn't it? But how come you didn't die? Then how can feeling be you? Feeling come and go, you're still around. So that understanding is through logical thinking, rationalization. But when you are in the meditative state of inner awareness, when you have sati or mindfulness, you silence your mind and stay with that feeling. Then what happens? Whatever feeling that has emotion, they are dependent originating, you come to realize. They are not a permanent unchanging entity. They arise through mind states. So mind state depends on your conditioning, belief system, the way you perceive it. So that feeling, whether pleasant or unpleasant, depends on your views, your conditioning, your belief system, or your preference. So likewise, feeling, the next aggregate is perception. Perception also come and go, but you didn't die. Then sankhara activity, mind state, mental thinking, mental activity, even your mental intention, they arise and they pass away, they come and they go. So all this, if they are you, when they arise and pass away, you should die, but you didn't die. Then consciousness also say, consciousness arise and pass away. You have the six sense basis, six type of consciousness, they arise and they pass away, and you didn't die. So the clear understanding is, especially in the state of awareness meditation, where you can be aware of its arising and passing away, then you will come to realize a very important universal characteristic, that these are all dependent originating mind states, or what we call aggregates. and they arise and they pass away, which means dependent on condition it arises. And when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So what does it mean? It means that this is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why all the aggregates, they are impermanent. They come and they go. The physical body may take a longer time, but mental perception, very fast, they come in, they go, they come in, they go. So, through all this understanding, then the Buddha developed the more deeper understanding of what this so-called human being is. You cannot deny that this human being is a part of your life, understand? Because it cannot be this one got nothing to do with you. This one definitely got something to do with you. But this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's what the Buddha want you to understand. Now we come back to the quote, the unique quote. I read, then you will understand. So this so-called living being, or for our case is a human being, which we call the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects, is not you. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. So I put here, may not be you, but it's related to you. And it's very important because this one is subject to karma. That is the wisdom that we need to develop as Buddhists, as Dhamma practitioner or cultivator of the way. So this one, we know it's not a permanent unchanging entity, not you, but it's related to you, understand? How does it come about? It comes through the karmic process, understand? This karmic nature, each and every one of us has, where it's the summation of all your mental activity or mental intention, all of your actions, speech and thought process. They develop into a karmic nature. So because you have a karmic nature, most living beings, when they pass away, they don't have the wisdom. They entangle themselves with sakayadity or ignorance or avijja. And because of that, they take birth. Continuous birth. That's why samsara is like eternal. Eternity of birth and death. So this samsara, which is the continuous birth and death, created the form and mind through the karmic process. That's why I say this form and mind of so-called human being, for our case, is karmically conditional. So this one is karmically conditional for us to come to this existential world. So this is like I always say, the human being is like a vehicle and a tool. You know why I call it a vehicle and a tool? Because like a car, when you want to go somewhere, it takes you there, isn't it? So this physical body is like a vehicle, take you around. Then the tool is the mind. Understand? Enable you to live life, go through life, experience everything that you need to go through in life. In fact, it's the karmic process. So that's why this understanding is very important. This understanding that this human being is subject to karma. This one is the most important. So this one is subject to karma. And because it's subject to karma, we cannot simply do things. Even though this is not you, dependent originating, condition arising, karmically conditional vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through life, to experience everything and to do what you want to do. Fulfill your vows, or pay back your karma, or experience everything that you have created through the karmic process, then you know how to make use of this, to meditate, to develop the wisdom, the direct seeing, the awakening, to liberate the mind and become enlightened. It's also from this form of mind. That's why I say, this one may not be you, but this one is part of you. It's not a permanent and changing entity, but part of your being. That's why it's from your karmic nature, it comes. It's a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. Yeah, without this karmic process, the form and mind cannot arise. And without the form and mind, you cannot connect to the nature within to realize your true mind, the silent mind. Means from the source, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. And this one is the pure awareness nature, or we call the sati, or mindfulness within. So this pure awareness nature is very important. This is our true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So without the form and mind, you cannot develop the ability to realize this. So for the whole creation process to take place, we need to meditate to understand how it all started. That's why when you realize Nibbana, the enlightenment, then you return to this so-called the source. So Nibbana is cessation of form and mind, where everything ceases. Then when you come out of it, we are not time to die yet, then the first thing to come out is, after you go through the cessation process, you see this very clearly. The first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature, which is just aware. Then from here, through the senses, it very fast operates. But when you come out through the realization of Nibbana, that moment of arising and coming out, you can see the whole creation process. From here, how it comes to here, then from here to the awareness, how you see the senses operate and create this so-called mundane mind, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then how this five aggregate of form and mind created the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then how existence, life, arise. So this process need mindfulness, awareness. You need to meditate. You need to go through it. And you need the form and mind. This form and mind, although not you, but it's very important. But this one is subject to karma. This one also vehicle and tool can allow you to come to this existential world to develop a lot of things. The cultivation, the perfection, the enlightenment, the realization. Then this form and mind, once it develop the wisdom and the realization, you will understand life. You will not be deluded. Then you will not cling, you will not grasp. Then there is no suffering. Then life become meaningful, wonderful. And because of that, the Buddha said, under the five daily contemplation, he said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So that first part is very important. Because this one is not a permanent and changing entity, not you, it goes the way of nature. Then number four is, whatever you think this fellow can own, is not real. Because the fourth daily contemplation is separation. Whatever you believe you own, your loved ones, your prized possession, then also whatever you hold on to dearly, they will leave you. Before your breath stop, if conditions cease to be, they will also separate from you. But when your life force, or when your supporting condition for the five aggregate of form and mind no more, so especially when you die. They say when your breath stops or vital organ damage, you cannot sustain that form of mind. Then this entity is erased. Once erased, means what? You cannot own anything anymore. Everything that you believe you own, your loved one, your prized possession, or whatever thing that you hold on to dearly, they were separate from you. That's why the fourth daily contemplation is separation. Then what is the fifth daily contemplation? He said, the Buddha said, we, means all living beings, not only human beings, we are born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is the great understanding. If the fifth daily contemplation, the Buddha asks you to contemplate deeply, means it will give you the understanding to live life. If I know I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma, and I am what I am because of my karma, what must I do? For your case also, what must you do? You have to take care of karma, understand how? This karmic nature. That's why in the unique code, I mention it very clearly. So this is how you understand life. You understand who you are, what you are. And through this understanding and wisdom, you develop the cultivation. Then you will not deviate, you will not go wrong. That's why meditation leading towards enlightenment is wisdom. Not to have the special psychic ability or special meditative experiences that is like very amazing, thinking that that equates to enlightenment, like special psychic ability to perform things that normal people cannot do. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just the understanding of who you are, what you are. The five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Okay? So now I will read to you the quote again. By now it should be clearer. This living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, yeah? For our case is the human being, may not be you, but it is part of you, a vehicle and a tool for you to come, karmically conditioned out. So the aspect is very important. That one I cannot write in the code because that time you are not ready. So I just tell you basically, this living being, the five years of the form and mind, may not be you, but it's subject to karma. So the key point is tell you it's subject to karma. Means the fifth daily contemplation. Based on that, you will have to, therefore, we need to develop wisdom to use them with understanding to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action to take care of our karma so that we can be a blessing to all, but not to be deluded by it. Means not to be like deluded by the so-called human being, which we have been so conditioned into believing since birth until now. Before you know the Dhamma, you always have the egoic mind to identify yourself. The ego, the personality. I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel and think. Therefore, I am. So that is Sakaya Nidhi, self-delusion. You have all these five areas of form and mind, when you are mindful and aware, you can see the thought. They arise and they pass away. So the understanding is very important. That's why in the teaching, in the early days, you can recall, I always remind you all, I say, you must find out, who are you? What are you? If after finding out that these five areas of form and mind, they are impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity, cannot be you, based on the teaching and your ability to be mindful, then the next question or inquiry is, if this 5-degree of form and mind is not real, not a permanent and changing entity, not you, then why did it arise in you? And then who are you? What are you? Yeah. So that inquiry is very important. It's like a koan, understand? So the koan that can awaken the mind and liberate the form and mind is to help cultivate all the way to develop the wisdom to awaken via this inquiry. So if they are not you, then who are you? What are you? You can understand what I'm trying to point out to you or not. If this 5-degree of form and mind or the so-called human being or living being is not you, then who are you? What are you? What is the answer? Huh? You think this pure awareness is you? Huh? What do you think? I already told you that this one is not a being, isn't it? This one cannot come out and live life under sana, the pure awareness nature. But this one is a nature. It's like the karmic nature and the spiritual nature. This pure awareness is a nature under sana. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life under sana. So this one also not you under sana. That's why the Buddha said, anatta, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. Even the so-called pure awareness nature, the unborn, the uncreated, the oneness nature, that one also not a being, understand? So what is the answer? Who are you? What are you? I always share with you what? Huh? I am nothing. I'm nobody, understand? Because none of all these are you. Well, this nature cannot be you. Of course, you can say you have a Buddha nature, like Sakyamuni Buddha. But there is a nature, understand? That is not him. That's why when we went for a spiritual trip, what did I tell you? Huh? Develop affinity with all the great beings? Ah, nature, understand? Because they cannot, like, every time they come, they manifest as a segmented life, understand? This may be their segment, like this life, Brother Teo, this form of mind is my this segment, my nature's this segment of coming. But this is not me, understand? This is just a vehicle and tool, karmically conditioned for my nature to arise within this existential world, to develop all this that I have explained. Can I understand? This one is the most important, and this one you cannot find in any book. Very few people can come to this type of understanding to teach you the whole picture of what creation and existence is. And finally, you are nothing. Nobody. Yeah. So now you understand why I always tell you, this is not me, the so-called rest you. In fact, that nature is just a nature. And that nature you cannot like take away on, understand? Like the Buddha nature. The Buddha Rupa or the images you can destroy. But you cannot take away his spiritual nature, the Buddha nature, the embodiment of his perfection, cultivation. This one is recorded within nature. That's why it's called a nature. So this part better slowly develop the understanding. Well, this part in the past I never share or teach more. I just mentioned. But now I think the whole picture has already been explained. It is time for you to develop this understanding. So initially, maybe at knowledge level is good enough. Yeah. But as you cultivate, as you penetrate and transform through your inner awareness and mindfulness, as you develop your ability to stay here longer and longer and illuminate this nature, then your cultivation becomes different. Then you understand the whole creation very clearly. Then you understand what I explained, all this very clearly. Okay? Okay, we still have some time. Okay, so we finish off with the Unicode 115. I read it one more time so that you all can develop the understanding. I will add in the other part that I didn't put in last time because you all are not ready at that time. This living being, the so-called five aggregates of form and mind, and for our case, is a human being. We are this birth, we take the birth of a human being. May not be you, but it has a lot to do with your karmic nature. Where this one is a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for each and every one of us to come to this existential world, to go through life, to live life, to experience life, and to manifest as a form of mind. And it is through this vehicle and tool that we can come. Yeah, this is the only way to come. That's why the Bodhisattva, they know. After even they realize Arahanta shape or Arahant shape, they become Arahant. Technically, it's no more rebirth. But they know how to come. Yeah, they know they need this karmic nature, which they still have, to create a karmically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, which is karmically conditioned, is needed. That's why they have their four basic vow of a bodhisattva. That will create the condition for it to arise. We are through the karmic nature, you need a consciousness. Normal rebirth of human being is through avijja, ignorance. So once you become an Arahant and beyond, you got no more avijja. The moment you die, or they call it parinibbana, there is no avijja. So there is no rebirth consciousness. But they still can come because of their vow, especially the first vow. They vow to take the cross and liberate all living beings for the three period of time. Yeah. So that vow is made out of love and compassion. So that will create the causes and conditions for them to have a pure mind, which is out of love and compassion for the living being. And then it can condition the karmic nature to arise. That's why you can still have a form and mind. But that so-called rebirth consciousness is not born of ignorance, it's born of pure love and compassion. It's a pure thought. Yeah. No avijja, no ignorance, nothing. So that is the one. Yeah. Then it is not you, but it's related to you deeply. And the most important thing is this so-called five degrees of form and mind, even though it may not be you, but it is subject to karma. Therefore, we need to develop wisdom, like what I explained just now, meditate to develop wisdom, to use them with understanding to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action to take care of karma, which is following Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma way, so that we can be a blessing to all, but not to be deluded by it. Means don't attach and cling and grasp onto the five ingredients of form and mind, believing that it is you, it's a permanent unchanging entity, that you can own things, you can have things, you can possess things, and you can enjoy life and do all those funny things. So this is where the great understanding is. So this Unicode 115 is very important. I read it one more time. This living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, may not be you, but is subject to karma. Therefore, we need to develop wisdom to use them with understanding, to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action, to take care of karma, so as to be a blessing to all, but not to be deluded by it. Okay? So your end unit code 115. Then the next one, unit code 116. This one maybe I just go through it quickly here. Both the conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma must be understood to enable one to have the complete wisdom to truly understand and live life. So this one I have explained before. So when you meditate, when you realize the awakening or enlightenment, there are two aspects to the awakening. First is the conditioned Dhamma. Means you must understand the conditioned world with the connecting conditioned Dhamma, like I have explained before. That's why the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching, these are all conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. The duality, everything, they exist within the conditioned world. And the conditioned Dhamma has all the essential Dhamma that will enable you to understand the existential world, the so-called life, existence, the whole of the conditioned world. So this conditioned Dhamma to understand this existence is the first aspect of enlightenment that the cultivator of the way need to awaken to. But the more penetrative one is the unconditioned Dhamma. The unconditioned Dhamma means you go beyond the sainthood way, way beyond the sainthood way. The sainthood way only understand the unconditioned Dhamma to a very, very small extent. When you go the Bodhisattva way, the supreme vehicle cultivation, then your ability to awaken to the unconditioned Dhamma means you realize true emptiness. That's why I say, finally, you are nothing. You are nobody. There is true emptiness, understand? Yeah. So this word emptiness, the real meaning is empty nature of existence. Means existence to the deluded one, those who don't have the understanding, they will look at it like, wow, so real, so enticing, and so luring. Understand not? Like everything is like so real and so exciting, but also a lot of misery. So what happened here is you may think it's real, you may think that these are as real as can be, but when we come to the clear understanding of the unconditioned, we realize that whatever arises, they will come to pass. You remember? We have gone through what is existent, time related. Can you remember? Existence is time related. Time can be defined three periods: past, present, and future. Past already over, no more a reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. The only reality is the present moment. How stable is the present moment? Split second, it arises and passes away. Split second, it arises and passes away. And that is the only reality. So how real can it be? And through the mindfulness and the awareness, you realize everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why each year you waver. Means everything within the condition world are conditioned Dhamma. They are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising. So no reality, understand? They come and go, they come and go. That's why true meaning of emptiness is empty nature of existence, understand? Like the famous Mandarin song, 往事只能回味. Everything that you experience while here, you can only recall them to memory. Like I said, we cannot deny that we were born and we live all these years. For my case, 70 years, coming to 70 years. Is it real? I cannot deny that every moment since birth until now existed. But is it real? You can only 往事只能回味, recall it to memory. That's why this mundane mind is just the culprit that created all the illusion. And the grasping and the clinging and the emotion. That's why people try to escape from the suffering and the misery. They go into meditation thinking that they can develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind to be peaceful. Then they attach to the joy, the peace within and the fantastic mind state. That's how entanglement within the conditioned world keep on arising, keep on luring and enticing the living being and entangling themselves and creating all the so-called chaotic phenomenal world of consciousness. So this understanding is very important, empty nature of existence. So when you realize true emptiness, then existent life become wonderful, meaningful. That is the secret of life. That's how you should develop the understanding. Then there is no more avijja, no more delusion, no more suffering. Then life becomes amazingly beautiful, wonderful. Then you can realize the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You can live the life of enlightenment. So this is the complete understanding. Okay? So we will end sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will end here. So our last unique code is 116. So I will read to you one more time. Both the conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma must be understood for one to have the complete wisdom to truly understand and live life. Now we will continue our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, or how to apply all this teaching so that it can help you live life, understand life, and also for those who have the experience, you can also share Dhamma in daily life based on what you have gone through in your cultivation.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Mr. Teo and all calamitous.
Yeah.
Before I nominate somebody, I would just try to say a few things.
Ah, good. Okay.
Like what Brother Teo has taught, this unique code 115.
Mm.
As I feel that as long as the cultivator has not reached the stage where they can experience the silent mind and the stillness,
yeah,
is a bit difficult for them to understand that this body of ours is just karmically
definitely, you are right. Yeah.
And to see that there is another being, the awareness nature itself. So for us to be born in this world, especially when we are of a certain age, and having gone through all the experiences, is a bit difficult to to separate the this so-called
the thought process. The mundane thinking.
the mundane, the mundane thinking, the being, the personality
Yeah, the egoic
in,
mind. It's
yeah,
very difficult to
it's
break
actually it's very
free for
difficult,
him.
very difficult.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which is very true. That's why the awareness, basic meditation, is not easy. Actually, when you understand, it's very easy. If you cannot realize your inner awareness, your true mind, your subtle mind, it's very difficult for one to understand this teaching. That's why this teaching is about awareness, sati, mindfulness. Without sati, without heedfulness, you cannot comprehend. So that is basically why the Buddha keep on stressing the final advice before he passed away. Strive on with heedfulness, appamadena sampadeta. So that last statement is very important, and what PG came to understand is also very true. That's why unless you cultivate the true sati, stabilize it and realize that silent mind, it's very difficult to comprehend this teaching. So the sainthood way, which is the provisional teaching, is easier to understand. But to understand what I share, the complete picture, you need to understand the Supreme Vehicle Teaching. You need to develop stability of the awareness nature within. And that one is not a being. That one is just a nature, no word, nothing, cannot talk, cannot come out and live life. It's not like the human being or the living being. It's not a fire every here or form and mind. Do you understand? Because that one is the unborn. And the unborn cannot come out and live life. So that nature got no word, nothing. But it is not the unconditioned. That is the first to manifest from that nature. So there is something, pure awareness nature. But you cannot do anything to describe it. It's just that nature. But from there, the mundane creation, the whole lot of manifestation of the four stages of creation, the four circle formation, they arise very fast. Especially the mundane mind, trailing of the phenomenal world of consciousness. And that one very fast, that process. So unless you really has the awareness-based meditation developed until very stable, until your awareness nature is very clear to you, you cannot understand all this. It's very difficult to comprehend. Maybe you can have a theoretical knowledge of what this thing is, but very difficult, or extremely difficult for people to comprehend what this is. That's why PG was trying to describe that. Where the egoic mind that cling onto the personality is very strong, very difficult to shake it off. That's why I hinted to many cultivators of the way. In fact, many cultivators of the way, they may think that they have realized the first stage of sainthood, Sotapanna, Shiva, and all that. But it's not easy. Because that Sakkayaditi, that egoic mind, that egoic attachment, that clinging, very difficult to root out. Not only difficult to root out, the habitual tendency that is still inside there take a long time to root out that one. So maybe initially have a glimpse, you may realize it, but when you start to live life, you realize that so-called atta, the egoic attachment or clinging, is so strong. You always believe you exist. You don't believe me, you go and try. Because for me, I remember after 1989, then when I went in and connect back to my spiritual nature, then only I can root out all the so-called habitual tendency, the core of the delusion, or that one all completely rooted out. before that cannot. That's why I have to wait till my Monday mind collapse. Then after that it become very different. Oh, like the whole thing become very clear. Okay, PG, you continue. Yeah, what you say is correct. Very good.
I feel that the mundane mind is very tricky, Bratil. It
Yeah,
will
not
always.
only tricky, it's very difficult to break free from that. Unless you have more and more moment of silence, there's a space between thought and realize that true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. When you are heedful, you are more and more aware until you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. That's why I say, unless you can do that, you haven't started the real meditation. Last time I always hinted to you. And a lot of Kayamita at that time cannot understand. But now I think a lot of you all can understand. Yeah, without sati, without the stability of mindfulness, how can you be heedful in the midst of life? Then how can you realize the enlightenment, the awakening, the realization? Cannot, almost impossible. Yeah, PG.
Yeah, speaking of myself, Bertil, it's been a long while that I how to say, I take my meditation seriously. Yeah. Actually very shameful of the admit that.
Nothing to be shameful. These are the causes and conditions that will manifest as we go through the cultivation. For your case, at least you have the understanding that this part is not easy. That is already a very great understanding, or should I say, beginning of the cultivation's awakening. Because when you know that you are not able to be in that state, means you know the urgency, and that's why you mentioned you have been serious in wanting to do all this. So this coming retreat, hopefully your health condition will improve, then you will make full use of the condition to progress, transform, and become different. You need to ask for forgiveness from your karmic thing, PJ. That part you need to clear. But I think you will be able to clear. Based on...
I'm doing that, Bharatiya.
Yeah, the Tuesday class, when I explained to you personally about the karmic thing, you know, you listen to that again. And do what you need to do. It will help you break free from the karmic entanglement. Because the karmic obstruction can be very real. And I also observing you in many of the annual retreat, and especially the spiritual trip and all those things. You tend to have all those things coming your way to block you, to create obstruction for you. But things are improving, like you came to understand the spiritual trip, our recent one at Wu Tai San. That itself, although you go through all those coming things, but you're able to complete it and benefit from it. So all these are good signs. Yes, things are turning around. Okay?
Yeah, Bratio. I find that this Wu Tai San trip actually does help me to renew my faith and my virya to continue with the cultivation again. It makes a lot of difference when I have that type of feeling. It pushes me to do things that I was doing previously. Otherwise, it's like I just slack off, Raju. Seriously,
yeah.
I just slack off.
Like what happened in the early days. At one time, you become very serious. You did all the Bodhisattva vow. You do it continuously. Then after you go back to Penang, you lost that so-called momentum. Then you come back, you realize that you deteriorate again. But it's okay. Well, initially it's like that. Cultivator all the way is like that. It's like playing the snake and ladder game. Huh? You thought you progressed already. Right? Suddenly you hit a snake, you come down again. Then the worst is, towards the end, the long snake take you back to square one. So all these are good example of what you expect to go through when you go through the
But
cultivation.
sorry,
Yeah,
I
yeah.
find that we do need help from the great beings prior to
Definitely,
for
definitely.
us to how to say to
To progress and
continue to
yeah, to
continue with the
progress and
cultivation.
to break all the coming obstruction. Well, if you don't have Kayamitas or great beings with that type of cultivation, they cannot help you. They cannot point out to you. You need to meet all these beings who have gone through. Then they see, they understand, then they can explain to you, and then you can break free. In fact, all these are part and parcel of what cultivation is. That's why I say, create the affinity with great beings. Request for their blessing, protection and guidance, and continuously thank them for their blessing, protection and guidance, and pay your respect. Then chant whatever to create strong affinity. Like Paramasri, they bought the image back. Then they have so much faith. So the devotion and all those things. Then last Tuesday class also said that image that I supposed to pass to you, you remember to take it back when you are ready. That Amitabha Buddha Rupam. That one has been with me very long. I think 20 years already. When I was in China, I bought it at Han San Si. Yeah, PG, continue.
Yeah, Brother Teo, I would like to thank Brother Teo and all Kalamitas for having walked this path with me. And
Sadhu.
also all the great beings, blessings, guidance and protection.
Yes.
While I'm, how to say, fulfilling my vows and aspirations
Sadhu,
this time.
Sadhu, Sadhu. Very good.
Okay, I would like to nominate Sister Ingbi to maybe continue with the sharing.
Okay.
Thank you, Sadhu, for nominating me. Mr. Kihotu, Ratio, Mr. Steels, Louis, and all Mr. Padmasuri, Brother Tune, and all
Song, also Brother Song.
Okay, I start, maybe regarding tonight's Brother
The tonight sharing is very good. You can understand, Sadhu.
I have tried to contemplate many years ago regarding this Gong An, that Brother always.
Yes, the Gong An.
Who am I and what am I?
Sadhu.
Even though all these fire gates of form and mind, both aspects are not me, not I am, not my.
Correct, yes.
Who actually am I and what am I?
Yes.
So, many years ago, I contemplated on it, and then it came, certain answer, understanding came to me.
Sadhu.
So maybe I share tonight.
Very good, Sadhu.
The understanding come like a normal, just unfolding to me.
It's that like an understanding. They call it sometimes the aha moment, like you suddenly understand.
Yes, it is something like water,
mm.
and then evaporation, and then rain,
mm.
either as rain or drop as snow, become ice.
Yeah.
And then from ice, melted again, become water, the
yeah,
whole thing
yeah, yeah.
again. So from there, I understand that as simple as this phenomena, this nature phenomena, so same like our physical and mental phenomena.
Yeah, they just arise and transform according to causes and conditions. That's why 一切有为法. So they just follow nature's condition, nature's manifestation. Then what you witness, what you see through your awareness nature, these are the Dhamma that you will come to realize. Then you can apply, like you develop the understanding. Just from the analogy of how water become ice, then snow or whatever, then how it become like vapor, then how it condense and become rain again. So all these are the cycle of manifestation and what we call transformation. So some people use the word interdependent. Yeah, everything is interdependent, like dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So from water alone, you can directly and indirectly conclude that everything, even the form of mind, even the whatever materialistic metal manifestation within existence, they behave the same. Even our human body, all the organic thing, nature, the forest, the whatever, grassland and all those things, even the ocean, the fishes, everything, they manifest. They have their causes and conditions. Of course, biological, karmic, physical. That's why we have the physical law, utu niyama. Then biological order, bija niyama. Then we have the chitta niyama. Then together within chitta, there is karma niyama. Then the karmic thing is the most powerful, where that is the main movement. So because of karmic, it actually entangles with the mind process. Then the dhamma niyama is the last of the five pancha niyama. So all these, they are actually a movement, very, very major movement. And only through the realization of the unconditioned and the conditioned dhamma that the cultivator can comprehend the whole process. So for your case, I think you have started to link them, which is good. You can continue, yeah, Amy.
Yeah. At that time when all this show up to me, the understanding was like, this whole thing is naturally, it's just a processes, there are activities, eyes and seas are coming or going. And then very, very strange, it connects to this formula that but you told us before, the Einstein.
Yes. Theory of relativity, E equals MC squared, all those things.
So I understand it like all these are actually energy, the flow.
Yeah, transformation from one state into another. Then metal, or what we call the MATTER, matter, trapped energy. That's why that mass, E equals to MC squared. M is the mass. The mass that all matter in this universe contain. So C is the speed of light, square of the speed of light. That's why they can release very powerful energy. So that is how atomic energy can be released, because it's all trapped energy. So all these are what the physicists came to realize. Then now the universe, with all their scientific investigation, that day I saw one program from Astro, I forgot which channel already, very good. Oh, he explored the universe. Oh, no. Oh. Then now they realize that the universe is very, very complicated, very complex. They are able to witness the merging of universe. Oh. Means all these star system, galaxy, and all those things, when they form a very big, like Milky Way, one very big one, then somehow the condition arises, it actually clashes with another one, sometimes more than two. Then when it clashes, how it merges and how it creates more things. So through that latest, don't know what telescope already, I forgot already, they are able to map the images, but they don't know what that thing is. Then what is supposed to be the traditional, like when you gel two together, then the core of it will become the main one. But they realize there was an outer layer which is very, very immense. So a lot of things they are starting to start to see, not to say comprehend. And to prove all this, to understand all this, you need awareness nature. Yeah, without the awareness nature, the thought process is limited to the extent that the thought can understand. So all this, the marvel, I call it marvel, the marvel of our universe. It's like creation, existence, also very big field. It's not only what we understand here. The other universe, star system, that's why we have a lot of what we call evolution of existence. Some are very advanced, so much more advanced than our so-called planet Earth. Our planet Earth, only the last 40, 50 years, I think, we progressed relatively fast. But there are a lot of civilizations that are a lot more advanced than ours, intelligent than ours. That's why when you go through the Bodhisattva way, you come to experience a lot of this type of thing, and it's unending. That's why I felt in a way like very different, because when my nature comes, this segment of life, I realize my nature can understand so much more things that the world has not understand on about the universe and all this thing. That's why I look at it so differently, because like my nature has gone through a lot of all this. That's why I can comprehend all this. So what we need to develop as understanding is, as you create the affinity with all these great beings or what, then when the consciousness and condition arise, then when you develop the cultivation during the sasana, a lot of these things you cannot get from books or records of cultivator, because very few beings or cultivator can reach the extent of understanding. So like this so-called sasana with your affinity, especially among Kayanamitas, a lot of the thing that my nature share is meant for future, so that you all can benefit from it. And all this, you cannot find other place, not written in books or whatnot. And to have that condition and affinity is not easy. But these are beautiful sharing, because the causes and conditions are there, and this sasana is so beautiful. That's why I always say, this golden window, this golden era, I call it the golden era, because it may just be 7 to 8 decades, or maybe 9 decades. Even now, reaching 70, means going into the 7th decade. My nature witnessed so many things and came to understand so many things. And of course, through the cultivation of the awareness nature, Supreme Vehicle Way, it came to understand a lot more. So all these are like meant to be. You know, my nature like to come during transition period where I can see all this in just one segment of my nature's manifestation. And that is the uniqueness of my cultivation. So all this, it happened because of a reason. That's why in the year 2008, Maitreya requested my nature to share is because of that. So basically, that I think earlier on I told you is the two things. The first thing is the sainthood way to develop the teaching clearly. Then the one I fulfilled earlier on when the Heart Sutta came out. Then after that is the Bodhisattva way, the uniqueness of the Bodhisattva way, the yellow card, everything. So the two aspects of the five aggregate and the right view, all today that I explain one, they are also being summarized in the card. Then basically I have to deliver the Supreme Vehicle teaching. That's why now all this sharing are coming out. And these are very unique sharing and very rare sharing. But it needs causes and conditions for it to manifest. That's why I realized a lot of our recent sharing, the Sunday class, Tuesday class, and especially Thursday class, a lot of this type of understanding and causes and conditions just manifest so that my nature can share. Okay, maybe you continue, you better continue. Otherwise, I take up too much of your time.
It's everybody's time, not mine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is still 8 more minutes, maybe. Yeah, you can continue.
Alright. That time the understanding come is like this energy, energy flows.
Sadhu.
Is manifest in the various capacity mass. Capacity mass and how to say is in their respective speed lah. The speed, it can be time related lor. Respective speed and then manifest in the conditional world or is our existential world and transit.
Yes.
Transit is very important because the unfolding showing me water or ice.
Yeah.
And then evaporation, all those things.
Sadhu.
And transcend very deep into my mind, that all these things are transcend. That's why when Radio asked who am I or what am I to be contemplated or
yes.
It really show to me that I am nothing.
Nobody, nothing. We are just a phenomenon that come with a form and mind, karmically conditioned. But that nature inside there where we can access and develop the understanding, well, that is the one that actually created all the understanding. Even though it's an understanding, but it's just empty nature. Ultimately, everything is just empty nature existence, don't really exist. But like the Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Oh, it means that existence, although unreal, no reality or one, but there is such a thing as life existence. That's why all these teachings can evolve out. Even the Lotus Sutta, when we go through it, Sakyamuni Buddha, when he predicted all the cultivator of the way, now we only reach Sariputta. Then he described a lot. So all this is part and parcel of the all omniscient understanding of the Sammasambuddha. That's why all this teaching and all this Mahayana Sutta and the Supreme Vehicle teaching, they can manifest and come about is because of that. And that one is another phase when we reach the end, when you can manifest as the Sama Sambuddha, fulfill your Bodhisattva vows and all those things, then all this will take off again. So, although existential world is unreal, impermanent, empty, not what you think, but there is such thing as life, existence. That understanding is very beautiful. That's why my nature, when it come, this segmented life, it already have the understanding. That's why in the early year, I already share all this, Zhen Kong Miao Yu. That Miao Yu, that part, my nature has gone through a lot. No? That's why it can appreciate all this and explain all this to you all. The normal teacher that teach, where got go into all these things? No? It teach you all the Dhamma that you need to enlighten and finish. So it doesn't cover all those things. Very good English, Sadhyam.
So when Vaidya said, when you told us the answer just now, we are nothing, we are nobody.
Yes.
I at least can catch the deep meaning of
sadhu, sadhu.
Who am I? La.
Yeah.
So another thing is Vaidya said the in the true nature, the pure awareness nature, it's not a being.
Yeah, it's not a being. It got no word, nothing, one. It cannot come out and live life, one. But from that nature, the mundane mind, the phenomenal world, all the creation come out. That is the beauty.
Because in last year's camera retreat, I was, I think, in this inner pure awareness nature that
sadhu,
anything. I just aware only, we clear it.
Correct, correct. Yes.
I cannot do anything.
Yeah. So, that's why when you go through that, you become very different. And after you come out, you know what that thing is. It is so beautiful. That's why when you start to have the ability to stay there, then later on, allow the fourth support trust to illuminate that nature, to develop the internal transformation by itself, one or two trust, that nature just move and activate and develop by itself. And that one take quite a while. Like I used to share with you all, ever since 1989, coming to now 35 years already, that nature still doing it, that trust, that internal movement still there. Although after the mundane mind collapse, my nature already shine forth. But the movement, the activity, transformation is still going on. That's why I use the word unending. Because life, existence, wisdom or cultivation is unending. That process cannot end on. Because every civilization is different, every manifestation is different, and the whole universe is so immense. And the timing, the evolution, everything is so different. That's why it's impossible to comprehend unless you have that understanding. When your nature moves through all those stages of cultivation and transformation, and these are very beautiful understanding. That's the reason why I always say, this way, the Bodhisattva way, the Supreme Waker, although very long, but that word, the key word is very rewarding. Really rewarding. Because so much thing inside there. Oh, sorry. The alarm. So maybe you have to summarize. You can still summarize.
The pure inner pure awareness nature or the true nature is not a being.
Yes.
Like what Brother Theo said, cannot come out to live life.
Yes.
Awareness and no words, like Brother Theo said.
Correct. No word, no concept, nothing, just that thing.
Yeah. I am still trying very hard, lah, diligently, lah, full of.
Don't worry, you're already very good, able to actually be in that state, to have this understanding is already very good. Because a lot of people can't even get a glimpse of what that thing is. That's why when it comes to real sati cultivation, to have a glimpse of the silent mind, the true maya, is a great achievement, no? And yet so few people can understand. But for all Kayamita, most of you have gone beyond the glimpse. Most of you have stabilized the awareness nature. Except maybe haven't really activated it until it's full capacity to move. So different people at different stages, and all this will come to fruition later on. Because like I say, you all have your causes and conditions for you all to be born during the Buddha Shasana in this golden era, and also to meet with the true teaching, the true Dhamma and my nature, and all the great beings' nature when we travel. It's not by chance. You all are special in your own way. The Mandarin word is 不简单, all your nature 不简单. It takes time, but when it manifests, you will like become full of joy. It's like sometimes it can come like a shock to you, like disbelief. How come your nature can become like that one? But when it unfolds, it's like that. Before it unfolds, maybe you doubt. You never think that all these are possible. In fact, I reflected back when I was young. I told you all, I look at the sky, I contemplate. I know I'm different now. But I remember when I was in Form 5, I was trying to understand how after I go to uni, when I graduate, come out to work, what will be my profession like and how will I end up? I tell you now, it's beyond my wildest dream. I can never expect my nature to become like that. At the most, I know I will end up as an engineer, I will do well, then I will have good life. But I never knew that all these things that manifest until today can happen just the way it is. That's why do not underestimate what your nature is. When the time comes when you move, you really move. And all of you have your causes and conditions. It's not by chance. Okay, maybe sadhu,
Sadhu to Bharatiya for your encouragement and
In fact, a
also
lot of you all will become very beautiful, like I shared before.
I also very thankful and grateful to all the sharing from
Yeah.
this Kalyamitas,
Yes.
from the spiritual trips or non-spiritual trips. They are all very encouraging,
Yeah.
and from time to time, it really boosts up my full sada
Yeah,
into
the
that.
sadha. Because it will really transform the individual's sadha, or they call the veda, to go this way, give them the confidence, and they really become like, oh, this is what they want. Just like PG just now repeated, he said he don't want to deteriorate again, he want to go all the way. Like Po Cheng, when he becomes serious, he progressed so fast. And now, he's happy-go-lucky and yet doing so well. And in fact, a lot of Kayamita did very well. And my nature really rejoiced. But this is the best gift, like Joyce used to share. The best gift that we can give to Brother Theo is to cultivate sincerely and progress and transform. Because through that, you can be a blessing to many. And all this can just continue to evolve. Very good, Amy Sadhu.
Yeah, very good sharing from Sister Joy. I fully agree.
Yeah.
we must do our part, lah, as a student, as a disciple of the Buddha. So I will like to invite Baratil to lead us in sharing of today's Dharma sharing merits. Thank you very much.
Can. Okay. So let us rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So let us now share merits with all beings based on our unique sharing today. May it arise the causes and conditions to benefit all kayamitas and cultivators of the way. So we shall share all this merit with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chavumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva jirang rakkantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sampasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyam kamena mame bala smagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, Kunyi Bodhisattva, and all the great beings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.